This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2016, held at Faith Builders on August 1 through 5.
All right, good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like there was some communication going on. Some of you brought your friends along. So hopefully you don't get too warm. And if you didn't get handouts, they're the same as yesterday, by the way. Steve's in the back, and he can make sure that you get one if you'd like. Just let him know. So, here we are for part two. For those of you that weren't here yesterday, you can get a recording of it or get notes from a friend. We'll do just a bit of brief review. We covered the first three points on the front side of the handout yesterday. And so the big picture we're talking about here is, in order to communicate well with your students, you need to know what's going on inside their brain. And then we're sharing seven strategies that you can use to communicate with them depending what's going on inside their brain. So the first one we talked about yesterday was connect and redirect. Connect to help them feel understood. We talked about listening to your students, making sure that they feel like they're being heard. Give them your undivided attention. Ask questions like, tell me more about that, in order to lead them into discussion with you. And then finally, finish up with goals and redirect them into something better than what they were currently engaged in. The next strategy we talked about was name it to tame it. And this really was dealing with memories they may have come in that morning because, depressed or upset that morning because of something that happened at home, and that's really at the top of their mind. And the main strategy for that is to get them to talk about it, get them to tell stories. This is what happened to me this morning. Somebody, my little sister or my big sister, yelled at me, and this is what's really bothering me. Just get them to talk about it so that they can move on. And the third strategy was engage, don't enrage. And we talked about upstairs brain, downstairs brain. Downstairs brain is where your automatic actions come from. The anger can come out of there unless you connect your upstairs brain and downstairs brain and move beyond that. So we talked about getting them to think logically and use their upstairs brain as well. So now we're ready to move on to part two today, improving communication with your students.
Have you ever wished you could just inject a thumb drive into your student's brain that would insert all kinds of math facts, or maybe the periodic table of elements, or prepositions, things that would just, you'd stick it in there and there they would have it? Or maybe you wish you could just flip a switch and they'd suddenly start obeying you. But think about what you would miss. Think about the process that would be missed. Think about all the sweat and tears that would be missed, and the pathways that would not get built in their brains. Instead of inserting a thumb drive, you have the opportunity to teach these students and to help them think about life and build pathways in their brains that will help them conquer life on their own instead of simply depending on a thumb drive. Or maybe you wished you could just download this talk into your brain and you'd have all this information in there. But then think about the stories that you've heard and how they connected with other things that you already had in your brain. Or the ideas that popped into your head when you heard one of these strategies for a student that you had this year. You would miss all of that if you would simply download it. The first strategy we're going to present to you today is move it or lose it. Research has shown that bodily movement directly affects brain chemistry. So in other words, exercise stimulates the brain and helps to connect left brain and right brain and upstairs and downstairs brain like we talked about yesterday. I, as a teacher, tend to like a very orderly classroom. You stay in your seat, you raise your hand. However, after being a mom of two toddlers, and I also taught third grade math class once a week this past year, I thought, why in the world do we make our students sit so long? I mean, I get tired of sitting at Teachers Week. Can you imagine sitting this long for 180 days? Our students need to move around. I was just shocked at all the sitting that we require from our students. And I challenge you to help your students move around this year.
And boys are especially known for wanting to move around. Just remember that boys are not defective girls. They learn differently. Boys especially like movement. Boys are going to take recess, whether you give it to them or not. So, give it to them. Give them plenty of recess and take short breaks like jumping jacks, balance on one foot, or running in place.
So what we're looking for today is ideas for student movement. In just a little bit, I'm going to have you divide into groups and discuss ways that you've tried having your students move around while teaching or things that you would like to try this year. And in a little bit, we'll ask you for some ideas from your group. You don't have to tell us all of them. We won't have time to hear all of them. It may be one of the best ones that was discussed. So talk about student movement. How can you get your students moving? Okay. Can I have your attention? There's certainly some movement going on in here. I see lots of mouths moving. Hopefully you've come up with lots of good ways to get your students to move. Let's hear some of them. Who has an idea that you can share with us? Yes.
Jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks. Thank you.
Run around the field.
Sorry. Run around the field. Yes.
When I'm teaching time, the quarter after, half past, quarter to, we stand up and our hand is the long hand, and they do it with me.
Very good.
Quarter after, half past, quarter to.
Yes, that's good. She said when she's teaching time, she has them move their hand at whatever time it is. You could also have them move their body, I guess. That would be for younger students. There was another one up here.
A song with motions.
Doing a song with motions, right in the middle of class?
Sure.
Why not? Thank you. Yes?
We do flashcards, and at just one grade, so they run around to the back of the line.
You do flashcards, and with one grade, you have them run?
Right.
Literally
after
run?
They answer. They
yes?
Run. Yeah.
After they answer a question, they run to the back of the line. Good. That gets them moving. Someone else? I hope you get your students moving this year. Yes?
We pick a place on the mat where we know somebody, and we march or swim or however we have to get there.
Okay. So that would be in geography? In geography, you pick a place on the map where you know someone, and you jog or swim or whatever method of transportation you need to take to get there. Very good. Yes?
We have a swing set, and so sometimes we tell our students to run down to the swing set and then, like, weave around the swings or, like, hang off the bar, jump over this, kind of like a little mini obstacle course.
Okay. You have a swing set, and this is in the middle of the class or in between classes?
Between
in between classes. Send them down to the swing set with specific instructions. Hold on to the bar, jump over the swing, weave in and out. Good. Most of them would just go around if they didn't have instructions.
Occasionally, when we're taking a test, I'll tell a student when they get to this certain spot, they can go around lap around the parking lot.
Okay. When you're taking a test, when they get to number three, you can run around, you can run a lap. Very good. Do they race through and try to get to that point?
Well, they do move a little faster.
Yes.
Act out new words.
Act out new words for spelling. Yes, very good. Let's have two more.
I like to pretend to take mine on a bear hunt. And we can, you know, we have to climb trees or we have to swim through rivers and, you know, get them to move like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to have them run backwards.
Very good. Take your students on a bear hunt. Have them climb trees or go through the woods and then run backwards when you see the bear. Thank you. One more.
I found it really beneficial for 7th and 8th grade students. Like in the morning, if they're really draggy, like they can be, make them run around the school, especially if it's a cooler morning. That really gets them going.
Okay.
You can tell a big difference when they get back in.
If you have...
They like the extra minute or two out of class. Too,
so. Right. So before class starts, say, okay, everybody, run around the school. Very good. That gets their whole brain ready for learning. Thank you. Sometimes I just simply have my students stand up. Stand up for half a minute and sit down. It gets them in a different position. Another activity that I like to do was maybe in history or science, if we were doing review, I would ask them a question, and when they answered the question, they could stand up and stay standing until everyone is standing. Now, you have to be careful that you the smarter students aren't always standing the longest. Sometimes I ask simple questions and make sure that someone who might have difficulty answering a question gets to answer that one first, and so they can stand up. And then they all stay standing until they answer another question, then they can sit down. So that gets them up and down. I like to play popcorn with flashcards, where I hold the flashcards and they pop up to say the answer and then sit back down. You can do that with any review or anything. And older students enjoy these activities too. They might act like they don't, but they like movement, and you'll soon see a smile coming across their faces. So get them up, get them moving.
So for the three of you that are wondering what in the world does movement have to do with communication, just think about the fact that we're trying to set the stage so that you can communicate with them. You might be familiar with the idea, you know, the brain went to sleep. We're really trying to get oxygen into the brain so that it can operate. So there are two aspects to this. One is what you might call brain breaks, if you're familiar with that term, and that is doing something different, like the jumping jacks. It doesn't have anything to do with history class at the moment. You're just trying to get oxygen to the brain. And so those are fine. Do some brain breaks. Some of those of what we've been talking about, jump counting. Also try to integrate it into what you're learning. So maybe you could have them write a fact on a piece of paper. This is a great one for boys. Write something related to the class on a piece of paper, a fact or an answer, and then throw it across the room at the other students, and then they pick it up and look at what it was, maybe as a form of review or something like that. But then consider going further and not just giving them brain breaks, but designing activities into your lesson structure so that the activity itself is related to they're doing physical activity while they're learning something. So if some of you were with me yesterday afternoon, we talked about some cooperative learning techniques like think, pair, share. We've had you turn and talk to your partners. It's something different to change up. So you think about an answer, turn and share with your partner. Or small group discussions where they get to get up out of their seat, move somewhere in the classroom and come back. Or having them go do activities somewhere else. You can just look into that and consider activities that are related to the learning process that allow your students to move at the same time.
Now it's your turn. Stand up. Stretch your hands up. I don't know if you can touch your toes in all these chairs. Lean to the side. Other side. Good. Jump up and down 2 times. Good. You can run in place. Good. Sit down. You have your brain ready? I don't think you're going to lose that point. The next point, oh, I forgot to add this. Movement actually tends to calm students. It's amazing. You'll have these students sitting there, their hands are moving or their legs are thumping away, and you get them up, you get them moving, and they can sit down much more peacefully and ready to learn than they did before. So you win when you get your students moving. And they win because it gets their brain in gear, and hopefully they won't lose what you've just taught them. Don't worry, they won't remember everything, but it will tend to help things stick a little better. Okay, next, let the cloud of emotions roll by. We, as Anabaptists, are good at not being controlled by our feelings. We've been taught that from a little up in a lot of ways. However, we go to the extreme that we tend not to be in tune with our feelings, and we often just shut them off. Some students have a cloud hanging over them. They have feelings inside them that have been stuffed down. They don't know how to deal with them, and they come to school with this cloud hanging over them. The cloud is at home as well, too, but they're in your presence now. How can you help them? How can you help the cloud of emotions roll by? One thing to tell students and to help them realize is that feelings are temporary. How long do you think a feeling lasts when you have it? Probably about 90 seconds is how long a feeling lasts, particularly for children. Feelings are very temporary. They come and go. Children think that feelings are going to last forever. Have you had your students come in from recess on a hot day? Oh, it's hot in here. I am so hot. And in about 3 minutes, they've totally forgotten how hot they are. But right then in the moment, they are hot, and that's all they can think about, and they can't do anything else. They are just hot. Students need to be taught how to deal with their feelings. And like we said, particularly for children, they feel that their feelings are going to last forever. My daughter, Shayna, often has a very hard time sharing with Cedric because she thinks that whatever she shares, he's going to keep forever. She'll never get it back. But we all know that's not true, but that's how it feels to children. So as you interact with your students, think about how their feelings are not going to last forever.
Change things up today. All right, class, you have 2 minutes to complete this speed drill.
I don't know.
I'm sorry you're feeling frustrated. What is it that you don't know?
There are so many new ones I don't know.
It's not fun to feel frustrated. I feel frustrated sometimes, too. Have you ever thought about the fact that when you say, I don't know, you're actually keeping your brain from being able to think of the answer? How about you just focus on the ones that you do know for now, and then you can practice flashcards in study time today.
In this example, the most common thing for teachers to do is just ignore the student or say, keep working till the timer beeps. But that would not connect with the cloud that is hanging over your students and actually preventing them from thinking clearly and accomplishing the task that is at hand. We want to connect with their emotions by saying something like, it's not fun to feel frustrated. I'm sorry that you're feeling frustrated. Or are you feeling angry right now? Or maybe did someone hurt you? Connect with them. Repeat back to them what you think they might be saying, or either have them say it to you. How are you feeling right now? Rather than, get to work. It's important for the teacher to acknowledge how the student may be feeling, or get them to put it into words.
As you communicate with them about their feelings, especially in a time of frustration, it's important that you communicate to them that they're not, that you don't think they're dumb, okay? In fact, they aren't. They're just feeling frustrated. So just because they're feeling dumb doesn't mean they are. Brain research shows that when they tell themselves they can't do it, they very likely can't. So you need to interrupt that cycle and explain to them that is what's going on in their brain. You're telling yourself, you're giving yourself feedback, I can't do this. And we need to interrupt that cycle and try harder. Studies even show that your posture can affect the way you feel. And so you can try that this morning. If you sit up and feel happy, you're more likely to actually become happy. If you slouch and go to sleep, you're more likely to go to sleep.
Feelings are normal. Students need to know that what they are feeling is perfectly normal. It's okay to be angry, as long as you don't punch someone. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel like, I might not be able to do this, or I don't know the answer. We all have those feelings. And it's important for our students to know that we feel like that too. I get frustrated. I get angry. There are things that I think I will never be able to do. But students often do not see that side of us. And they think that we can do whatever we want to. We tell them what to do, and we can figure out whatever we want to do. So they need to know that what they are feeling is normal, and that other people feel that way too. And not only that, but that we also have feelings. And we get frustrated. This often comes into play when you have guy-girl issues. And I happen to have high school devotions with the girls every other Tuesday. And we often talk about guys, as girls tend to do. And I will tell my ladies that it is totally normal to have feelings for a guy. That's normal. We as ladies and men were created oppositely, but they have feelings as well. We were created to have feelings. God created marriage. And so it's not wrong to have those feelings. And they kind of look at me like, really? It's not wrong to have those feelings? No, they were given to you by God. At least that's how I feel about it. And but I tell them that it's what you do with it that matters. That doesn't mean you can chase every feeling that you have or daydream about every feeling that you have. Instead, these feelings should take you toward God. But our ladies need to know, and men, you tell your men, that it's perfectly normal. Everyone has those feelings to some extent or another. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. It's just how they deal with it that really counts. So don't be afraid to talk with your older students. Men have men's devotions. And if you don't have an older lady teacher, pull someone in who can talk to your ladies and let them know that what they feel is normal. And it's very interesting. I often talk with my ladies, too, about relationships with their mom, with their dad, with siblings. And it's eye-opening for them to hear another girl say that she doesn't really have a good relationship with your mom. Or a lady say she wishes that she could talk to her dad. Because you can just see the other saying, I feel that way, too. And they learn that they're not the only one who's struggling. Their friends are struggling as well. And it just, it creates a bond and helps them to be more okay with themselves. They don't feel like the odd one out. So let them know that feelings are normal. And not only do they have feelings, but it's also very important to teach your students to think about how others may be feeling. How is Sally feeling in the moment? Or what will Johnny feel like if I only play pitch and catch with Sam all the time? Other students have feelings as well. There's also another girl that I spent time talking to. She was a 9th grade, 10th grader, and she enjoyed interacting with the boys. And we spent a lot of time talking to her, and I would tell her, how do you think the other girls feel if you're always spending time with the boys, never spending time with them? How are they going to feel? Do you think they're going to want to be your friend? Or maybe you say, hey, let's go do such and such with the guys. Do you think that girl is going to want to feel? How is she going to feel? Won't she feel used? Do you think she's really going to want to be your friend just because you want her to go along to do with whatever it is that you're going to want to do? Help your students to see how other people are feeling. Some of you are probably dealing with cliques in your classroom, guy cliques or girl cliques or you name it, whatever kind of cliques you have. One of the things, and there's often one or two people who are excluded. And sometimes when I talk to the girls who are in the in-group, and I often talk to them one by one, I will say, how do you think Susie feels if she's not allowed to do whatever it is that you're doing? How do you think she feels? How would you feel if you were not allowed to interact with them? And you can just see the look go across their face. Oh, wow, I would not like to be excluded. And it doesn't fix everything right away, but it helps them to start thinking about, oh, okay, I'm not the only person in this world. There are other people around me, and how I relate to them really matters, and it affects the other people. So help them to look around them and see how other people are feeling. I remember I was in 6th or 7th grade, and we had two major girl cliques that year. And I floated back from one group to the other. I don't really quite remember how that all worked, but sometimes I was in one group, sometimes I was in the other group. And I got a brand new pink shell lunchbox, and I thought this was just the coolest thing. Someone had given it to me, and I just thought it was awesome. And I remember eating lunch and going up the stairs to put my lunch box away, and two girls from the other clique at that time were walking down the steps, and they said to each other in my hearing, did you see that ugly shell lunchbox? And the rest of my day was ruined. I just couldn't believe that they would have actually said that. And I went home and I told my mom, and she said, well, Diana, you know what? Those girls were probably actually jealous of you. They probably would have liked to have that lunchbox. And when I heard that, I thought, oh, that's why they said that. That makes sense. And it didn't take the hurt away, but it helped me to be okay with it and to see that the reason they did that was probably because they were hurting. My mom talks about being in junior high and wanting friends and her teacher coming to her and telling her that she was actually the leader of the group And she was shocked because here she wanted all these people to like her and to be her friends and to realize that everyone was already looking up to her. It's just helpful to help your students see some of these things. They don't always see them. They don't always understand them. And if they can see how others are feeling about them and how it helps them to know how to feel about others and to love them even more. Just because a student is acting a certain way doesn't mean that that's how they're feeling. So I encourage you as teachers as well, look behind the mask that your students have on. Look behind that mask and see what it is that they really want from you. They might be acting out because they're not getting attention, kind of like I talked about yesterday. But look at your students. Look behind their mask. Look at what's really coming out. What are they really asking for? And how can you help them to feel those feelings? How can you help them to understand how other people are feeling as well? So help them to let the cloud of emotions roll by. None of us like that feeling where there's just a cloud hanging over us. And I think it's even more traumatic for children because they do not know what to do with it. How do you get rid of a cloud? You don't know. We as adults have a hard enough time getting rid of them or allowing Jesus to take them away, let alone a young child who really has no idea what to do. Help them get rid of their cloud of emotions. Now it's your turn. Let the cloud of emotions roll by. Again, you can divide into small groups and discuss how you can help your students overcome the clouds they might have hanging over them. We have some examples up here that you can use or you can create your own. So here are some that you may use if you'd like. Sally comes in crying because Bill tore her art project. You notice that Sam and Joe are excluding Johnny. How can you help these students or how can you help your own students? See if you can come up with some solutions.
Okay, it sounds like you're getting emotional, so that's good. Time to let those emotions go by and move on to the next point.
Which is getting back to the hub. Have you been enjoying your week? Yes, good. Does it feel kind of busy, like you're learning lots of new things, meeting lots of new people, and having to eat all this good food? Does it feel like you just need a little bit of quiet, a little bit of time to process, and get back to the hub? You feel like you just need a little, just give me about 5 minutes when there's no one around, and I can sit and think about what I've learned. I guess you'll have time to do that on your way home. That will be your homework. Our students probably feel that way too. They feel like they need to get back to the hub.
Proverbs 4:23. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Issues implies something is flowing. Things are flowing out of your heart and out of your students' hearts. And they need to understand that sometimes they get caught on the ride downstream. Or, as we're looking at in this example, on the hub of the wheel, they get caught on an outer spoke and they feel like the current circumstances or the moment they're in is so big that they can't focus on anything else that's going on in their life right now. Sometimes it's insignificant things like what I'm wearing today and what other people are wearing, or what other people think of me. What does he think of me?
Class, you're dismissed for recess. What's going on?
I'm feeling upset.
That wasn't the answer that I got the first time we dealt with Alex's anger. The first time I asked him, we probably didn't get an answer at all. And the second time, he didn't really know how to express himself. I don't know how long it took to get this answer, but I kept asking him questions until he finally acknowledged that he was angry. What are you feeling upset about?
Well, Joe won't play pitch and catch with me.
Why not?
Well, he wants to play with Jordan instead.
That doesn't feel very good, does it? Alex, it's pretty important to you that the boys like you, isn't it? Have you thought about it, that while you really want a friendship with them, you've gone about all the wrong ways to try to win their friendship? Who wants to be your friend when you bully them and always tell them what to do? You see, Alex, God created you with the gift of leadership. Did you know that? You're a natural leader. The other boys in your grade look up to you.
Do?
Yes, they do. But because of how you are treating them, they're actually scared of you. How do you think that you can change how they feel about you?
They maybe not always tell them what to do.
That would certainly be a good start. Go ahead. Go enjoy your recess and think about how you can treat the other boys so that they will follow your leadership. Our students tend to get very easily distracted by the cares of life around them. And the example that we just acted out really did happen to me as a teacher. And I can still remember that boy's eyes when I told him that he's a leader and the other students are looking up to him. He just couldn't believe it. And it started to help to change how he interacted with the other boys when he actually realized that he is a God-given leader. God gave him those gifts, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. But our students just tend to get distracted by the cares of life around them. And we as teachers can help to train them to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes it doesn't always feel like there are roses around them. But we need to help them stop, take a deep breath. I sometimes tell my 4-year-old, if I can remember, just take a deep breath. And it really helps. Try it. Take a deep breath. It tends to just, I don't know what rolls off, something. When you get frustrated, take a deep breath. Encourage your students. It's a simple thing they can do, and it's something they can take with them the rest of their lives. We need to give them ways to vent their frustration rather than acting out. So let's try to teach them some introspection. You want to teach them ways that will equip them with the ability to stop and think. And take a deep breath and look at their hub and see everything that's going on around them. So I think our students need to, and I actually tend to do this myself, when I'm feeling like everything is chaotic, I say, okay, Diana, what is wrong? What is going on around me? Why am I feeling this way? And probably most of your students don't have the ability to do that. You can teach them. Teach them to stop and think, what is going on around me? They look at their hub and see all the things. They think they have to do this math. They're worried about getting their math homework done. And Johnny has new shoes today, and I don't. And I don't like what my mom packed for me in my lunch today. What are all these things that are flying into my brain? So what's going on around me? And what am I thinking or feeling? What am I actually feeling inside me? Am I feeling angry? Am I feeling jealous? Am I feeling overwhelmed? What am I feeling? It's hard to know how to deal with what you're feeling until you know what you're feeling. And then lastly, what can I do about it? Just like I told Alex that he is a leader and he's feeling frustrated because the boys aren't playing pitch and catch or doing whatever it was that he wanted them to do. So he's feeling frustrated. What can he do about it? Well, it's helpful for him to realize that the boys actually look up to him. And since he knows that, hopefully he will treat them differently. That's what he can do about it. So teach your students to stop, take a deep breath, and just do some introspection. What's going on around me? Another way to empower our students and help them get back to the hub is to let them know that you believe in your students. It is amazing what your students will do for you when they know that you believe in them. I had, I taught special ed for some of the first years of my teaching, and I had a sixth grade boy who would come over for special ed. He was a very angry boy and caused a riot in the classroom. But when he came over to my room, it took a couple weeks, he would do whatever I asked him to do. His writing was atrocious. His teacher could hardly read it. And he would come into my room and write beautifully. And it wasn't that, I'm not saying that I was a better teacher than the other teacher. I'm just saying that I had the time one-on-one to let him know that I believed in him. And one of his rewards for getting whatever done he had to be done was that I would stay after school and play pitch and catch with him. This young man actually was really longing for a father role and just longing for someone to be involved in his life. And when he felt like someone believed in him, he rose up and he would do almost anything I asked him to do. So it's amazing what your students will do when they know that you believe in them. Help them to see the gifts that God has given them. I would often tell my students, God has created you. You were created for a purpose. God has given each one of you gifts. They might not be the gifts you wish you would have or the gifts that you see that Susie has, but you have gifts. And it's give them examples of the gifts that they do have. I actually, in that incident, I asked Alex what he thinks he's good at. He doesn't know. And finally, he did say that he enjoys children, and he was very good with children. Now, I didn't do well at giving him ways that he could interact with children at school, but he took care of his little sister. He was very protective of her. And so we talked about that, how he is very good with children, he's gifted in dealing with children, and he's a gifted leader. Most students, especially at the junior high level, think they are not good at anything. And they need to know what you see in them and what they're good at. Help them to understand that they are being prepared for life and for the adult world. The issues they are facing now will probably never really go away. At least I found that in my life. The struggles that I had only changed and morphed and are a little different now than what they were, but I still have trouble dealing with the same kind of people I always did. And so now is the time to equip your students to deal with the struggles that they are going to be facing later in life, because they're probably going to be somewhat similar, unless they have power to overcome them. One of the ways I would get my students to get back to the hub was praying before tests. And we didn't always do this, but it was very interesting. If I forgot to pray before a test, it wasn't unusual for one of my students. And this was even junior high students would raise their hand and say, "We didn't pray." And I said, "Oh, that's right, we didn't." And there are several things that I liked about that. One is that it brought God to their attention. They thought, "Oh, that's right. Jesus is here. He is helping me." Secondly, it just gave them a little bit of time to be quiet and just to pause and to think about the fact that I'm going to have a test soon, and I might be feeling all uptight about that, but I can just have a little peace and quiet now and talk to God about it. So that's one way that you can get your students back to the hub. It puts them in a spot of calm and relaxation before the storm. And I would also tell my students, if they're stuck on a test question or an essay, go and do whatever it is that you can do. Finish the ones that you know, and then come back and take a little time to think about it. Sometimes I can't think of an answer on the spot. Someone is standing right in front of me, and I can't even think of their name, even though I've known it for years. But if I pause and think a little bit, or if I sometimes go on and keep talking, and then suddenly their name pops into my mind. Give that strategy to your students. Help them to remember that they don't need to know all the answers right now. Possibly it will come to them at another time. So give your students ways to get back to the hub. Help them just to find that spot of calm and relaxation when it feels like the whole wheel around them is spinning. It's your turn again.
Just to highlight three things she was saying. The one, when she said they'll deal with these issues for the rest of their lives, I just thought of a friend who told us recently when we were talking about having Diana coming in for split devotions. She said, "I wish I would have learned how to deal with some of those issues when I was that age, because we still face them as adults." So when you're communicating with your students, you're setting them up to learn how to deal with these issues for the rest of their lives. And that little troublemaker in there, he's going to be your best future principal, or probably your bishop. You know what I did when I was in school? I jumped out the open window. So, but probably not unless someone communicates with them and grooms them. So reach out to those. The troublemakers can be, believe in them. And your students need to know how much you believe in them. A story about a teacher who had her students write, you need to tell your students what you believe in them, and you can have them write to each other what they believe others are good at and nice things about each other. And a story about a soldier who died in Vietnam, and a lot of his friends came to the funeral, and in his wallet they found a folded up paper from junior high school where the teacher had the students write nice things about each other, and he kept that in his wallet for the rest of his life. And then some of the other students admitted that they still had theirs somewhere too. So never underestimate the power of encouragement in your students' lives. Okay, so now it's your turn. Getting back to the hub. Discuss these scenarios or one that you'd like to come up with on your own. Bob gets sick the day of the school program and wants to go home. And you'd like to say something to him before you call his mother and just send him home. You notice that Bob and Sally are spending a lot of time talking to each other these days at break time in the hallway or various places, and you think you should talk to them about it. What should you say? Go. It's quieting down, yeah.
Okay, have you gotten them all back in?
Back to the hub.
Is everyone back in again? All your students are back in line? I would like to say that my husband jumped out the window and is now our school principal. So. Were those scenarios a little bit more difficult? I saw a few more disconcerting looks about trying to solve some of these problems. It takes practice. Go ahead. Give it a try. You won't do it right the first time, so you have to at least get the first time over with so that the second and third time will go a little better. A few years ago, I spent a lot of time one-on-one with a student who was facing a lot of difficult circumstances. She had a lot of emotional baggage, and life just seemed incredibly difficult for her. Almost all she could think about was guys, how unfair her parents were, and what other people thought about her. With God's help, I kept trying to bring her back to the hub, the heart of the issues. What was it going to help to blame her parents? How was that really going to help her? Why was she craving guys' attention so much? I would tell her again and again, you were created for a purpose. God created you. You can't change your parents. The only thing you can change is yourself. And we would talk again and again about focus, and I would tell her, you can only focus on one thing at a time. You can either focus on your parents and everything they're doing wrong, or you can focus on how you can change your relationship with your parents. And she did have some real issues. It wasn't all made up. But what she focused on was going to make a difference in how she dealt with it. If she was focusing on what her parents were doing wrong, she didn't have the ability to focus on the change that she could make. If she was focusing on how much she's craving attention from guys, then she's not able to focus on the love that God has for her. So this situation sadly didn't turn out as well as some of them do. She's no longer going to church. But every time she comes around me, she always gives me a big hug and says, oh, we just need to sit down and talk again. So while I would love to see her at a different place than what she is, it's encouraging that she realizes the importance of communication. And that's what she really wants. It's just sometimes hard to do things by yourself or without God's help. So stand behind your students. Help them get back to the real issues of life and let them know that you are there for them and that you believe in them. Next is our last one. Increase the fun factor. Do your students think that learning is fun? Will they look back on the time in your classroom as a fun, growing experience? I am actually honored to have a student here in the audience today. I won't ask her to stand up. But if you do know who she is, you can ask her later if my classroom felt like a fun growing environment. And as I was thinking about this, I had to think about the strawberries that I like to grow. And after all the strawberries, after you've picked all the strawberries, you mow them off. And for about 2 days, they look awful. They look like they're never going to come back to life. And suddenly on about day three, the little leaves start to perk up. And I often come in and tell my husband, the strawberries are happy now. How are your students feeling? Do they feel like they're chopped down, or do they feel like they're growing and happy and surviving? When I first started teaching, I had to think about the fun factor because, like I told you before, I like a very orderly classroom, although I'm changing a bit on that, but that's still what I tend to like. And I started teaching fourth and fifth grade, and I remember telling my mom, Mom, I'm afraid I'm going to be known as a bossy teacher because I'm going to say, you know, I want them to do this and this. These are my regulations. These are my requirements. And something my mom told me that I will never forget is this. Diana, you can be as bossy as you want with them as long as you have fun with them.
So the first point is make learning fun. And notice we did not say school. That's more big picture. You know, we have to be here. We're talking about learning. You're in charge of the learning in your classroom. Make sure your students have fun. And having fun with them is more than just having ice cream parties and things like that, although that's okay sometimes too. Maybe take them on a field trip. Make sure you put enough field trips into your year. Something that we did recently, started a couple years ago at our school that my students do not want me to get rid of. It was originally started because of an extra 10 minutes in the schedule. Now they don't want to see it go. I call it homeroom activity. It's just every morning there's 10 minutes of time in the middle of the morning, and it's a lot of work for the teachers. My fellow teacher and I in grade 7 through 12 have to come up with something to do in there. Our goal is for it to be a learning activity, but for it to be interesting and for it to be something different. But to tell you the truth, the easiest thing to do is to do a read aloud. And that's okay. That can be fun to take your students through that experience. So even in the upper grades, story time. Students really enjoy story time. So put story time in either as a separate place in the schedule or sometimes in history class. I have some books that I always read every year in history class. And so I know, world history this year, we're going to be reading this book. And I just fit it in somewhere, maybe start the first 5-10 minutes of every class with part of a chapter from that book. So read alouds. Or some other things that we've done are just brain activities, things for them to do in small groups for brain building activities, riddles, jokes, and like I said, it takes a lot of work to research something to do, but the students really enjoy it, and it's they're learning at the same time. We also did some activities, especially at the beginning or the end of the year, to get to know each other in that time. And so one time we gave them a pack of, you could hand out Skittles or M&Ms in small cups, and then whatever color that they randomly got, however many, if they have two red M&Ms, they need to answer the questions that you put a list of questions up on the screen. And the red question is, what did you do last summer? Or what are you afraid of? Or what's your favorite thing to do? Or just some kind of get to know it question like that. And then if they have two red Skittles, they need to give two answers to that red question. If they have no red Skittles, they're all free on that one, and you go to the next person. So some people get hit and have to answer that question a lot of times, others off. So that kind of thing. Give time for read-alouds and activities in class, or put a little time in there like we did for homeroom activity.
One thing that happened to me several times, I think it was particularly during science and history class, is that the students would ask questions, sometimes pertaining to the lesson, sometimes not really at all. And it felt like we just needed to have time to discuss. So rather than reading the science lesson or discussing whatever we were going to discuss in science class that day, I would just take the time to answer their questions. I remember one day a girl raised her hand, and I was shocked that this question came from her. She said, "Miss Real, sometimes I pray, and my prayers are not answered. Why not?" And a question like that to me felt much more important than whatever we were going to learn in science class that day. And we just had a really good discussion. I think it was in that discussion that another boy, and I was also surprised to hear this coming from him, said, "We go to church on Sunday mornings, but it's really hard for me to remember what we learned about on Sunday throughout the week, or even to do any of what the preacher is saying." So learning can be fun. It can be more about more than just your science book, just about your history book. Take time to listen to your students and allow them to learn as you go. The 6th and 7th grade class that I talked about a little bit yesterday, when I talked about the music class, the class that had a lot of trouble the year before, I found out that to them, fun was not letting them do whatever they wanted to do. They had already done that the year before. They had already gotten out of their seats whenever they wanted to, talked without raising their hands, and done all kinds of things. What they actually wanted and what felt really good to them, although they would not have admitted it, was boundaries. They needed boundaries. They needed to know what they could or couldn't do, what I would or wouldn't allow, but I didn't let them know what would happen if they did cross the boundaries. I surprised them with that usually. But they needed to know that there were boundaries and we could have fun. They had freedom within those boundaries. And it was very interesting. Not long after school got started, they started telling me, "Miss Real, do you know what we did last year?" And I would hear all kinds of things at random times of things that they had done last year. And they felt guilt for what they had done. And it was things like, "We just got up whenever we wanted to and left the room." And, you know, you would think, well, that's what a student really wants to do, isn't it? No, what they actually want is boundaries. And to them, that can actually allow them to learn and make learning fun. One of my goals as a teacher, and particularly now as a mother, is to laugh with my children. It feels to me like so often we're telling our students, "You can't do this, you can't do that." Not that we necessarily use those words, but just take time to laugh with your students. Take time to enjoy a good moment. It just releases some of that anxiety and tension and allows you to have a good moment together. So laugh with your students. It's our prayer that as you step into your classroom this year, you'll be able to see your student through God's eyes. You'll see them as a human being created for God's purpose in His kingdom. And as you look at them through God's eyes, you'll be able to connect with them and redirect them. You'll be able to help them name the issues they're dealing with and tame them. You'll be able to engage in your students without enraging them. You'll help them to move so they don't lose everything that's in their brain. You'll help them get rid of that cloud of emotions that's hanging over them. You'll get them back to the hub, and you'll have fun with them.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.